This is the Reverend Christy Hoard from St. John's Episcopal Church in Pensacola, Florida. Thank you for tuning in to our podcast, St. John's Talks, a collection of sermons, interviews, and speaker events here at St. John's Episcopal Church. I hope you enjoy.
In the name of one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. Please be seated. So today we hear a lot about this word Sabbath. Now you may have heard this word before, it may be a new word to you, you may have an understanding of what you think it is, and maybe that understanding doesn't quite fit, but one thing is for sure, the idea of Sabbath means rest. And we're reminded in Deuteronomy that God said, I rested, so therefore you shall too. But it's interesting because this idea of rest is no longer as countercultural as it used to be. Particularly in America, where it's all about success and progress and producing, the term self-care has really become more of a buzzword. You have no problem finding blogs or Pinterest posts or the best way to show self-care. Our younger generations, indeed, for good or for ill, are very much attuned to the idea of self-care. Well, I have a runny nose today. Maybe I don't need to go to work. That was a bit of a... But this idea of self-care is biblical. God demands it right away, commands it that we should take care of each other. But not only in taking care of ourselves, but of each other and our livestock and everything in the world that is created. I would like to say that if my dog, and he's really cute, he's getting old though, so he takes a lot of naps during the day. But he would love this idea. It says your ox or your donkey or any of the livestock or the reds, they need to rest too. And he would say, absolutely, mother, come join me. But this idea of rest, what does it mean? Why are we resting? And what exactly are we being called to rest in? So we encounter the disciples and Jesus today, and the challenge that Jesus is bringing to the people of his country, of his world, that we then are asked to follow, is that the leaders, the religious leaders, had taken this commandment of rest and Sabbath to an extreme. Actually, the idea of the law, as we understand the commandments, the things that God said, this is what you need to do, this is what you don't need to do, they had taken it so far that in many ways it had become a new idol for them. That they were more concerned about whether or not people were following the rules of the Sabbath than they were about whether or not people were treating each other well. That they were more concerned about whether or not people were following the rules of the commandments or the rules of Deuteronomy and Leviticus. There were 613 rules, actually. Whether or not they were following them as to whether or not they were treating each other with dignity and respect. And so Jesus comes into the picture, and by the time we meet them today, they're already a little frustrated. Now, I don't know if you noticed, we're only in chapter 2 of Mark, and the Pharisees are already had enough of this man, Jesus. And they're walking, the disciples, and they decide to pluck heads of grain off as they're walking down wherever they're headed next, probably to the synagogue, because we meet Jesus in the synagogue again, and they're angry. What are you doing? Why are you plucking that on the Sabbath? Their rules were so strict about what you could and could not do on the Sabbath. It's mind-boggling. It would make your head spin. It would be hard to rest. Am I doing it right? Have I failed? And Jesus says, look, you've got this all wrong. Do you forget our King David? Do you forget that when his companions were hungry, he took them to eat? And the bread that they ate was actually supposed to be reserved for the priest, but because his companions were hungry, that was the priority. Others were a priority. Taking care of his companions were more important than being sure to live the law to a T. Now, one of the reasons that they are so challenged by Jesus is no one, power does not like to have truth spoken to it. And Jesus is coming with a lot of truth and reminding them that you have been so convinced that the way you are living is right and proper and true that you have forgotten to take care of each other. Don't forget David. Don't forget that the Sabbath was made for humankind. God gave us the Sabbath to rest in the love of God. God gave us the Sabbath as a gift. The Sabbath, humankind was not made to observe the Sabbath. Indeed, God made creation and said, you know what? You all are working hard. You deserve some rest. And then, of course, at that time, people didn't know how to rest. So God had to give them rules. Well, okay, well, this, you don't do this, and you don't do this, and you don't do this. But then we went to the other extreme. How much do we do that as human beings? We take everything to the extreme. And if someone isn't following to a T the way we think that we should be living, we get angry. We judge. We might criticize. But then Jesus says, where we start the conversation is how are we taking care of each other? Now, this culture of self-care would say, well, you can't take care of each other if you're not taking care of yourself, and there is truth in that. Because it's not our role as human beings to fix each other. Our role as human beings is to be fulfilled in God's image. And then Jesus entered the synagogue, and the man there was with a withered hand. Now, any kind of disability or illness was seen almost as a curse in this day. And so again, Jesus is on the scene, and he is trying to change this understanding of what it means to be human. Even today, I would argue that many see disabilities as a challenge. In my doctoral of ministry program, I know that doesn't sound very impressive. It's really not. It's just more work for me. Studying, reading, but all the things I love. But I'm taking a class called Theological Anthropology. Yeah, doesn't that sound smart? But basically it means how do we understand human beings through the lens of God? Theology meaning understanding of God, anthropology meaning understanding of human beings. And we were offered this question this last week. This is the hardest class I've taken, by the way, because my mind just is like... What does it look like to be a human person fully alive? Yeah, go ahead, take that with you. What does it look like to be a human person fully alive? And so I did what everyone does these days. I went to ChatGPT. Dear AI, show me an image of a human being fully alive. And it immediately sent me to websites where you can have photographs, right, that are stock photos that you don't have to pay for. They're not copyrighted. And it changed the word fully alive to happy person. So immediately it understood a person who is fully alive as someone who is smiling, laughing, engaging with friends, and having a great time, fully alive. Some of them, of course, you know, your typical arms stretched out at the top of the mountain or in front of the ocean. And I thought to myself, well, what about people who are disabled? Who can't stand on their own two feet? Or maybe they can't speak. Maybe when they laugh or chuckle, nothing comes out. Or maybe the way that their body processes information, they're a little delayed when they catch a joke. What about people who are homebound? The idea in these images was clearly that relationships were important. Now, I do believe that relationships are important, but this goes back to the fact that we need to take care of each other. What about people who are homebound? Can they be fully alive? What is our responsibility to take care of our companions along this journey? What does it look like for a human person to be fully alive? It's a life in Jesus Christ that he's calling us to live fully alive. And in that being fully alive, we have to rest. And in our rest, we have to reorient. Why are we resting and who are we resting for? What are we resting in? We're resting in the truth of our creation in the image of God, but also in the truth that all are created in the image of God, and we can reorient our life when we take this rest, and we can appreciate what God has given us. Rest is about gratitude. Sabbath is about gratitude. What can we be thankful for during this time of rest? And Jesus says, and that, my friends, is what will bring you joy. That is what will make you fully alive. And so as I'm scrolling through all of these pictures, I found one of a young child, a little boy. And he had a jar, and in the jar were lights. So you might think, you know, maybe fireflies, right? Lightning bugs. I don't know about you all, but when I was younger, there are not many here because it's so hot and humid, but in other states they're quite popular, maybe even a little further north in the county. But they light up in the summertime, right? You can see their little lights going by. It could have been lightning bugs, maybe fairies. And he has this little jar, and he's crouched down. And in the photograph, you can see there's like a hedge around him, so almost like he's hiding. You know, but he's opened the jar, and the lights are coming out. And in the photograph, you might think that this little young boy is all alone, appreciating this thing that he's found. Maybe even being like, I don't want anybody to know, but I'm going to let them go. I'm going to let the lights out. Of course, we know because there's a photographer that there's someone else is there, right? But when you look at this little boy's expression, you might think he is all alone in this world that he's created around him, that he is so delighted in what he is seeing. And the interesting thing is that you can look at this picture and you can see joy, and you can see love, and you can see happiness, but he's not smiling. There's a look of awe and wonder. Awe and wonder about what has happened. And then you might create a story. If you're like my kids, you'll create a whole backstory about what this little boy has done. So my idea is that father taught me how to catch the bugs. Now I have these bugs. But you know, the bugs don't look super happy in there. So I'm going to take them behind the bush, and we're going to let them go. And when they fly out, their lights are shining everywhere. And that it's more fun to have the light shine everywhere than it is to have it bottled up in a jar. He doesn't get to decide where the light goes. He just gets to let it out. So, my friends, when we think about Sabbath and rest, it's an opportunity for us to reflect on where is the light shining in our eyes so that when we're invited out into the world again, when we take that next step on a Monday morning or a Friday evening, whenever it is, that you head out into the world, that you have the light and you are able to let it out. Because it's hard to let the light of Jesus Christ out when we're tired and cranky and irritable and discontent. When we walk into a room and everyone turns the other way, oh God, you can tell she's in a bad mood. They're not seeing the light of Christ. This is why we need rest. This is why we need rest. And when we take rest, we have to rest from the pressures of the world. The world feeds us constantly with stressful things. I'm echoing. Hello. The world feeds us constantly about things we should be worried about or concerned about, things that we have absolutely no control over. The world wants to continue to push those into our face. And God says, you have to rest from that. How can people encounter the love of God and Jesus Christ if we're angry and tired and overwhelmed? So the Sabbath, it's a commandment. One of the top 10 people, taking a break. Taking a break is one of the top 10 rules that God has asked the people to follow. And when we take the break, it's not just like, you know, don't do anything. What God is asking us is like that little boy with a jar full of lights is find something to be joyful in. What brings you joy? If sitting on your couch and watching television all day brings you joy, then have at it. But what is it that brings you pure joy? where you can relish in this idea of creation, where you can relish in the idea that God has put you on this earth to do something very important. And that very important thing is to tell other people about Jesus Christ, because it is through Jesus Christ that we know that God is love. That God's priority is you. And so we have to take a break from the world. For many people, that may be hard. I once led a class about Sabbath at another church where they had quite a large group of young families, right? And I challenged them to take a Sabbath. If you can't do 24 hours, try 4. And the next Sunday, we talked about what people did, and it was kind of chaotic. Well, we tried to go out in the boat, but it was just chaos, and da-da-da-da-da, and back in the trailer up. Oh, we all know how much fun that is. Back in the trailer up, and it just wasn't, you know, then by the time we were done, we were frustrated. I'm like, okay, we'll take that. So clearly you enjoy being near the water. That's something that brings you joy. So how can we remove some of the stresses of what that looks like? And are we putting too much pressure on ourselves to do it right? I feel like the Sabbath day is a great day to take things in stride. What if that's how we decided to rest on the Sabbath? If you can't figure out, like, you know, plan your day, let's decide that one day a week, our whole goal is going to be to take things in stride. Let's see what happens. Regardless of what it is, whatever the world throws at you, let's decide one day a week, if you can't do 24 hours, do 12, but that can't be while you're sleeping. You can't say I'm from 8 p.m. tonight to 8 p.m. 8 a.m. I'm going to take things in stride. Can't do that. Let's decide to take things in stride. Let's see what happens then. Let's see how God works in our heart and how God shows us a new way of being. As we enter into the summertime of the church calendar year, as you can tell, I'm wearing green today. We call this ordinary time, but there is anything but ordinary. It is the growing season, we call it. The growing season. And every Sunday, we'll hear scripture and words about different ways to grow into the likeness of Jesus Christ. Today, we hear about observing the Sabbath. But it's a growing season. And if you've ever been a gardener or a planter or a farmer, you know that it has to sit in the soil and get rich and taken care of, and then it grows. And so our understanding of ordinary time during this season is that God is working on us and helping us to grow. So while the summer might get a little slower or more busy, depending on your life, take some time. Take a break. Decide you're going to take things in stride. Invite Jesus into that growing season. And if we're going to rest, what are we resting in, and why are we going to rest? So I ask you all, as we head into these summer months, how will you grow this season? Amen.